Okay, it's Thursday night. It's an opportunity for us to sit together. Yes, it is New Year's Eve, but New Year's Eve is also an opportunity to study Torah. Every opportunity is an opportunity to study Torah. I was thinking a lot this week about a lot of different things, and you'll see this week there's been just quite a number of different topics that I could have put into this week's series. It is, of course, Team Shabbos, which is a Shabbos where we tend to focus on some of the issues of the Chevra Kedisha. And so one of the possibilities for a question tonight is a COVID Chevra Kedisha question. But I have to be honest, I'm going to vote together with everybody else tonight. And I may pull a Rabbi Teitz rule, which I will explain if I have to in a couple of moments. The Learning in the Shul this week is sponsored by the Laskers. Ari and Michal Lasker are sponsoring in memory of both their grandfathers, and of course by the Walsman and Mantra families in memory of Alana and Yafa's grandfather. So we hope that their neshama should have an aliyah. And of course, since it's Thursday, we're getting ready. We're starting to look ahead to next week. Learning in the Shul next week is sponsored by the Scheinzins in appreciation for all the assistance that the community was able to provide for them while they were dealing with illness, specifically COVID. So it's appropriate, given the fact that both our questions tonight are, quote, COVID-related questions, to recognize some of the help that they received as well. So there are others, unfortunately. Calls have been coming in. Not necessarily, thank God, so far in that community. Calls came in today from people that we all know that unfortunately have contracted COVID. So, we hope that just people just stay safe and take opportunities. Moshe, don't reveal the one piece of information that may be relevant to this year tonight, which I'll let you in on soon. Voting time. Let's first start with this week's questions. Question number one, a very, very, very critical, important question. Maybe a lot more personal, as I'll show you in a couple of moments. It's actually as it reads as follows. So much of life seems to be spent waiting in line. During the pandemic, we've been discouraged from standing in line, at least one that doesn't maintain social distance. I have a poetic writer, right? So yesterday, says the person writing me, I was offered an opportunity to avoid the line and was wondering, can one skip or jump the line for a COVID test? And forget about the COVID test. What about forgetting the COVID vaccine? Can a person cut the line if the person gets the opportunity? Some background information. The person was told that they would fall into a certain class. Different people are going to be grouped, at least in the state of New Jersey, and different levels. Level one, 1A. Dr. Wenger, I believe you're a 1A, right? You as a dentist have the opportunity to go ahead and proceed accordingly. There's 1Bs, there's 1Cs, 1Ds, and then 2 is the general population. I guess we in New Jersey we don't know how to count past 2, right? So we know all the letters of the alphabet, but we don't know past 2. But here, the question that's being put out by this in this first question is, if I'm not necessarily supposed to be in a particular line, hey Marvin, right? If I'm not supposed to be in
How
a
are you?
particular line, but I have the opportunity to jump the line, do I have a right to go ahead? Is it mutter to jump the line in order to get a vaccine? That's really the focus of the first question. And the second question, it is Team Shabbos. So I remember the lengths that we went to in the early days of the COVID pandemic to find a minyan somewhere in the world for the recitation of Kaddish on behalf of those in shul saying Kaddish. If I remember correctly, the rabbi found a shul first in Warsaw, then a kollel in Odessa for our membership. Today we have, which is true, I have to say it was, I was walking around all Pesach dumbfounded that the entire Western Hemisphere was counting on 10 Jews, so 12 Jews in Warsaw to be able to make sure that Kaddish was being recited. I think Dr. Winger, you and I have talked about that on a number of occasions, how mind-blowing that was to me. Today we have people in the shul can't make it to say Kaddish on a yahrzeit for a loved one, and have also taken the responsibility, we as a shul, to for those who were in England during the recent England lockdown, and on the West Coast, there's a major lockdown going on right now on the West Coast, for those who can't go to their shuls during the lockdown. Is this all just feel-good activity, or does it really work to have somebody say Kaddish on your behalf? So tonight's two questions in summary are a Kaddish on your behalf. That's really what I call the Team Shabbos question, to sort of bring an awareness to end-of-life issues. or the COVID test. Can I jump the line to get the COVID vaccine ahead of the line? Any votes in advance? Now, I warn you in advance, I plan on pulling a Rabbi Teitz voting system. Anyone? All silence. Marv, no votes? Dvorah? Dvorah's voting for one.
You're going to choose. You're choosing anyway.
You're choosing anyway. Okay, well, but I was hoping to. I had this great line about the Minyan software that I was hoping to put in and utilize, but now I'm not going to be able to use it. So, I think I am. I'm with Dvorah. I really like question number one. I find it fascinating. Moshe's sitting behind the screen, but Moshe and I actually, Moshe has a little bit of the updated information why this is of particular interest to me personally, because he was standing there when I found out, and I'll explain as we move a little bit further. Before, again, just to review, right, the question that we're dealing with is, do I have the if I get the opportunity to avoid the line for vaccine, can I jump the line and get the COVID vaccine out of turn? Or is there something wrong with jumping a line? So to be quite honest, we need to really sort of break this question down. And by the way, Dvorah, I was going to vote for this also, right? Because it's just unbelievably fascinating and very, very relevant, as unfortunately we saw at the beginning of this week, late last week and the beginning of this week with the case out of Williamsburg. That seems to be blowing very, very large. So what are some of the issues we need to think about when we start asking the questions about whether one is allowed to take to jump the line for vaccines? Any thoughts?
Well, the first thing is you have to define what jumping the line is.
Very good.
If you're classified as 1A and somebody tells you, look, if you come upstairs now, you get it now. If you don't come upstairs now, it'll take you 2-3 hours. That's one issue. Or is it jumping the line saying, you know, I'm a healthcare worker, all right? I'm going to hire a friend or my wife who's not a 1A to work with me for 3 hours on a certain day. Technically, is she a healthcare worker now? Is she a 1A now? Can she get the vaccine? And the third thing is that when you're not supposed to get it, you go and you get it, and is your blood redder than somebody else's blood?
Three excellent breakdowns questions. Three excellent. Any more? I think you tapped three that we must address. Beautiful. Beautifully done. Couldn't have said it any better. Anything else?
What's happening, the way that it's happening, not has an appearance, but is definitely unfair?
Explain, Mark. Go ahead.
You have people that are over 65, and all of a sudden, we're giving Congress people's staffers the vaccine. Or you're giving a guy who's in a liquor store where they say a liquor store is essential.
Right. I think the rabbi spoke about this in his drasha last week, right? Didn't he talk about that? I think the rabbi mentioned that in his video. It is available, by the way, if you still want to catch the videos. But yes, I hear that question too, and I think that's the other question. There's one other issue at hand, and I want you to know when I was debating this issue with Rav Teitz briefly, I caught him one night and, you know, it was interesting. And then tonight he had something else to say when I reveal the curveball question for the evening. So before we meet up, first of all, where do we find the concept of line in the halacha? Do we ever find it? Is there ever a question of line? And where does it play out? So the first thing I need you to understand is there's a big sugi at the beginning of Masechta Horeis.
There is white lies.
What? Not lies. Line. No line. L-I-N-E.
Okay.
You're very hung up on the lying, on Dr. Wenger's point about sort of hiring somebody for 2 hours so that they could be considered, frontline healthcare truth. People.
I right? love truth, Rabbi.
Huh?
I love MS.
You love MS. That's true. And I will second that point. Marvin loves love MS and for good reason. Okay. But what do we ever have a concept of the line, towing the line, waiting in line? So much of life is online. So there is a Gemara in Horius. The Gemara in Horius appears on Yud Gimel Amid Aleph going to Yud Gimel Amid Beis that sets up a series of rules of who comes before whom. Gemara says for certain matters, men come before women. For other matters, women come before men. We know that a Talmud Chacham can come before a king because the Gemara says a Talmud Chacham is unique, but anybody could be king. A Rebbe comes before a father because a Rebbe, a certain disgraced comedian used to say, right? I'm your father. I brought you into this world and I could take you out, right? But a Rebbe brings you into the next world, right? And a Kohen comes before a Levi. A Levi comes before Yisrael, right? Unless, of course, the Yisrael is a Talmud Chacham. In that case, the Gemara tells us at the end of Horius that what? Even a Mamzer who can come before a Kohen, depending on who comes where. So we know there is a pecking order, and there is a concept of a line that appears in Chazal. We have other instances as well. The Gemara in Yuma on Daf Beis Amud Aleph tells us that when a person steals a spot to the front of a line on a financial issue, right? Some guy's going bankrupt, and they're taking his stuff, right? They're taking his stuff, and they're putting it out to auction. If I run ahead and I steal it, I'm dying to know who Android is, and then I'll deal with you. I'll deal with you about that. It's an excellent question, but if you could just tell me who you are, it would really make me happy to give you the credit. So there, the Gemara says, if you steal to the front of the line, it's a problem of kol hakodem zacha, right? If a person jumps ahead, we say sometimes that whoever comes first has a right. In creditor issues, the person who has the earlier credit, right? The person with the earlier loan should perhaps be entitled to collect his monies first. Certainly that's the case with the Ksuba. And Masechta Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, totally not connected to anything else. We're told that when you're taking a group of people for the witnesses, for Kiddush HaChodesh, right? Two witnesses come up to Yerushalayim. They used to have that big place, right, Marvin? They had the big waiting room if it was Shabbos, and they filled it with beautiful foods and cake and whatnot so that people shouldn't feel bad. And they would check out all the other witnesses. Why? Because you don't want anybody to wait and next time say, they're not interested in me, right? But how did you choose which witnesses came first? Answer, the first group. You take the first pair of witnesses. Those are the ones that should be examined first. And even in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tezvav, Sif Aleph, we say that the judges need to hear the cases of those who come to court first. And the Gemara explains that we learned this from the concept of Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdof, that there's an idea of doing things with a certain sense of righteousness. Now, we also have other instances where there's a line and an order, which are not sources for us. Like, for instance, when it comes to the question of, I have two people who passed away, which of the two gets buried first? So the Shulchan Aruch, based on Masechtas Machos and Yerideya Simen Shen Nun Dalet, the Shulchan Aruch and the Piskei Tshuva Aleph there says that obviously the one who died first, to the best of our ability, should be dealt with first. And why is that so? So the Piskei Tshuva explains that has nothing to do with the line. That has to do with a question of decomposition. Remember, in the olden days, they didn't really have such great refrigeration. So the earlier that you were able to bury somebody, the more kavod hames that was there. That's not necessarily so similar to everybody else. But Reb Moshe Feinstein, and somebody pointed this out to me late this afternoon, right before Mincha, actually, in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simen Ayin Hay, at the end of the second note, he says, when it comes to a doctor has a halachic responsibility to go to the patient who calls him first and the patient who's nearest to his home. And if those two things are equal, then he has to prioritize based on the hierarchy mentioned in the Mishnayos and Horius. And it happens sometimes that when somebody doesn't know, right, if a person doesn't know that issue, then maybe the doctor can go ahead and use some sort of different system. But technically speaking, there should first be a line and there should be a hierarchy. Why would a person need to stay in the line? Why is that a concept at all? So I believe here we come to a number of possible answers. The first reason why we would have a line and why you're not allowed to jump the line is that it's minhag ha'olam. When we're told sometimes that, you know, you have to have order in life, and the Sefer Or Yisrael and the Kochavei Or on page 72 notes that the line is the minhag ha'olam. And Meiri in Sanhedrin on Daf Lamed Beis Amed Beis says that Yosher dictates that while it's important to have a line, if a person is very sick, then we might be able to break the line, which will sort of translate back and perhaps be a factor when we consider Marvin's factor, which we'll get back to in a minute. But again, an understanding of the minhag ha'olam, so it seems to follow that you bend the rules of lines for a sick person. So that might be one reason why we need to stick to our lines. The second reason is the understanding of the responsibility to avoid machlokes. And the Shaila Sechuva Shevet HaKahasi in Chelak Aleph Simen Shen Pei Gimel, he says that the main reason why we have lines is that lines help us prevent machlokes. Now, we are all quietly laughing because lines don't prevent machlokes. Lines cause machlokes. People are in line. They see somebody else going. And what happens? One of the greatest places to find machlokes is in line. The happiest place on earth, as identified by the company itself, Disney World. What do you do mostly in Disney World? You wait online. What happens while you're waiting online? Everybody grumbles. Right? Nobody likes to wait online. In fact, Disney has gone out of their way, and I think many of the theme parks have done this through the years, to try to create an experience just out of waiting in the line. So they try to introduce other things and comedians and music and all sorts of fancy artwork so you have something to look at. But the idea that the main point of having a line is that we want to try to avoid a machlokas, right? And the Pesachei Tshuva in Yerideya, and Simon Reish Samachei Sifkat and Tes notes that when it comes to two children who are at the same level of Chiyuv for a bris, in order to avoid a machlokas, we give the one that's, you know, let's say two kids are born on the same day and they're going to have the bris on the same day and the moel is going to do the bris, right? Which kid comes first? The answer is you go to the first kid first. Why? Because you want to avoid a machlokas. Sometimes you have to have rules. Marvin will tell you that in Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, the Mishnah Berurah pops up and gives you this whole long thing about who's entitled to which aliyah and who comes first. No, Marv, how many times have we seen that comment in that very long Mishnah Berurah? But he writes the whole thing is about avoiding machlokas, that there should be rules, not because these are halach l'moshe misinai. The only halach l'moshe misinai over here is to avoid machlokas, like Marvin also says all the time. So again, avoiding machlokas, having rules helps us avoid machlokas. And one of the rules that happens is this concept of staying in line. So we have minhag ha'olam to stand in line, avoiding machlokas. Let's add a third reason why a person should keep a line. It's a mitzvah v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. Rav Zilberstein Shalita in Chashukei Chemet to Sanhedrin reached out to his kollel this week, and I asked him, what does Rav Zilberstein think about our question? So he says, the guy writes me back and he says, we've written, I don't have to go to the Rav over this. We wrote in Chashukei Chemet. Well, in Chashukei Chemet, Rav Zilberstein says, it's a question of Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. Nobody else wants, if you're the guy in the line and somebody comes in and cuts you off, what's your first reaction? What's the guy doing? Right? So if that's the case and you jump the line, what happens? You're violating the Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. You can't cut the line for somebody else. Rav Zilberstein says in the name of the Chazon Ish that a person who cuts the line is what we call a poritz geder olam. He's going against the rules of the world. And that also may be a violation of hasagas gvul. You're breaking a gvul. What does that mean, hasagas gvul? It means you're literally sort of pushing the boundaries aside. You're breaking boundaries. This is my spot. What right do you have to come ahead and steal my spot? So then, according to Reb Zilberstein, we now have a third reason, this issue of the Yahavta L'Reicha Kamocha. And according to the way he quotes the Chazon Ish, it may also be a violation of hasagas gvul. Fifth reason is a question of onas devarim. And the Mishpatei HaTorah, one of the great works of modern time on Choshen Mishpat, in Chedek Aleph, page 84, the author of the Mishpatei HaTorah says that if you jump the line, you're violating Lo Sonu Isha Samisel. You're not allowed to go ahead and distress somebody else and just and cheat somebody else out of his space. So he says, unless you go to every single person in that line, which in our question would mean the entire United States population, you have no right to go ahead, or you're in violation of Lo Sonu. And finally, the last reason I think that we have to keep stand in line is the idea of pshara. What is the idea of pshara? There is a certain understanding, says the Meiri in Sanhedrin, that you stay in line as an understanding that, you know, sometimes we just have to figure out how can the world function. If you have two ships traveling, this is the famous question that was asked when Ben-Gurion came to visit the Chazon Ish. Two ships are coming at each other. One is a loaded ship, one is an empty ship. And they are traveling in the same lane, and they can't keep going straight at each other, or they're going to collide. Which ship has to get out of the way for the other one? The Gemara says very clearly in Sanhedrin, Lamed Beis, the Gemara says that the empty one should get out of the way for the full one. In fact, the old joke was that, or story apparently, is that when Ben-Gurion came to visit the Chazon Ish and tried to get him to make certain changes for the sake of the state of Israel, so the Chazon Ish says, turned to him and asked him, if you have two ships that are traveling, he asked this very question, and the Ben-Gurion knew the answer. He said, of course, the one that's empty should get out of the way for the one that's full. He said, yes. So the Chazon Ish looked at him and said to him, Mr. Ben-Gurion, how many years have you been around and the state? He says, not too many. He says, I'm carrying 5,000 years of Jewish tradition in my boat, right? You have to move in a certain direction. The story to the side, but the fact is that this is an idea of pshara. What's the difference between this last idea and the earlier ideas? If we assume that it's a question of pshara, of arbitration, then it's not a mitzvah. Right, but rather it's a midah ma'ula, and that might play a factor in choosing when and where we are to make exceptions. Or by the way, are there any exceptions? Must we always stand in line? So the Shulchan Aruch says there are times that we show preference to the line. I mentioned to you before that there's a concept called kol hakodim zacha in Beis Din, but the Shulchan Aruch says in Choshen Mishpat chelak Choshen Mishpat in Simen Tes Vav Sif Beis, that if a widow or a yasom comes to a Beis Din, then they have a responsibility to have their cases heard first. If a Talmid Chacham comes, maybe he has an opportunity to come first. Here, of course, there's a discussion of Kavod HaTorah, maybe there's a question of a Chashash of Bittul Torah, or the Rambam in his Pirush HaMishnayos to Horio says, his worth is more than that of the world. Then we say, if you have a choice with all the court cases, women should come before men, because it's more embarrassing for women to have to stand there waiting in a Beis Din than it is for men to stand in a Beis Din. So therefore, the women should come first. Their cases should be heard first, perhaps. So there, that is an exception to the rules of the line sometimes. The Meiri also adds that a sick person has a right to go before a healthy person. So why does that happen? So in the Teitz family, they're Rebbetzin Teitz, and by extension Rav Teitz, but certainly Rebbetzin Teitz, whose maiden name is Rabinowitz, right? She is a descendant of the Aderet. Who is the Aderet? His name was Harav Elio David Rabinowitz to Umim, which is the letters Aleph, Dalet, Resh, Tav. He was hired to be the assistant rabbi to Shmuel Salanter. Shmuel Salanter was worried that he was getting too old and that he was going to pass away, and there was needed to be a Rav in Yerushalayim, so they brought the Aderet to Yerushalayim, and unfortunately the Aderet passed away and Shmuel Salanter was the one who was masbid him, which goes to show you sometimes you think you know who comes first and who's more sick than whom, and sometimes that doesn't exactly fit. So anyway, the Aderet, who happens to be the great grandparent of Rabbani Teitz, the great-great-grandparent, maybe just the great-grandparent of Rabbani Teitz. So he comments, he says, I don't understand. Well, let's say an almana comes to the doctor's office. I know what happens in the Beis Din. Let's say an almana comes to the doctor's office, and there in the waiting room, you find the Talmid Chacham. Who comes first? The almana? Does the exception comes into play? That we say that a person who's more sick, does that person go in before somebody who's less sick? So Shlomo Kluger and Choshen Mishpat, in the Chachma Shlomo to Choshen Mishpat, Simen Tesvav Beis, he asks the question, he says, wait a minute, why is it even in the courts that Yisomim and Almanos come first? And the answer is simple. These are people who expect to be a downtrodden. And so therefore, they're just going to say, forget about it. Then this Beis Din is a kangaroo court. They're not going to take me seriously. And we don't want them to walk away with that understanding. And so therefore, we don't want them to give it up. Pesachei Tshuva says that that if you follow that line of thinking, the one who asks the question, the Chavos Yair says, that's only assuming that the Yasom doesn't have a trustee working on his behalf. But, and the Aruch HaShulchan agrees. So if we follow the Rav Shlomo Kluger and the Pesachei Tshuva, it wouldn't apply to the doctor's office. Why? When somebody goes to the doctor, the assumption is, you're going to get heard, right? That you're going to get something. It may be a drop earlier or a drop later, but you're going to get somewhere, right? So maybe the almana doesn't have a right to go jump the line. The Hafla, in his commentary to Choshen Mishpat, says, no, the almana does go before the Talmid Chacham because she's still an almana. She's still distressed. And so we do anything we can do to lift her spirits, to give her a sense of importance, we have a responsibility to do. And the Hafla adds that this is only true for the almana, not for the yasom. And so therefore, at the doctor's office, the almana would go first, and the yasom would not go first. Okay, so that's the issue over there. Now, the Shulchan Aruch also adds that you should just understand all of these exceptions in Beis Din, that assumes that you started the case, not that somebody came first. It means that until the cases start, we weigh other factors. The bottom line is that the Radvaz in Sanhedrin argues that you can triage situations, and sometimes if the second case is easier than the first case, take the second case first. Sometimes if the second person is more distressed, I asked that question when I sent it out to some of the Gedolei Torah that have Gaboyim, who have WhatsApp, right? I sent it out to all of them to ask them. Let's say a person has a certain anxiety about seeing people with needles and whatnot. So the question comes up in that regard. Like, let's say we have that situation, right? Should I send that person in first just so they can get it over with? Maybe there is such a right. So based on the Radbaz, the answer would be yes. Wow. So what does this do for us? And where does it work for us? So far, we've seen a whole bunch of reasons why a person can't jump the line. We've seen a bunch of different arguments. We've seen times where the lines themselves are blurry, maybe perhaps to lift certain spirits. But those factors may only be true in court cases. They may not have anything to do in medical cases or in vaccine cases. And how are we supposed to figure it out? So there is a comment that it was passed through to me from Rav Moshe Feinstein, also from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Mincha Shlomo and Madura Tinyana Simen Pei Vavos Aleph, that they say that, you know, quite honestly, they don't think that we follow that hierarchy in Masechta Horias today. Professor Abraham, S. Abraham, and Nishmas Avram, in the expanded edition Yoredei at the beginning of Simen Reish Nun Aleph, page 288, he says, I can't understand why we can't follow the line. What's wrong with us that we can't follow rules? If we have a hierarchy, then we follow the hierarchy. Why are we all of a sudden going and changing the halacha? Which is fascinating, because as a doctor, Professor Abraham was a doctor, he was more inclined to go follow the rules in the Masechta Horias, as opposed to saying, look, we have to put other things together. Agona Rav Asher Weiss, especially in the Tshuvas B'Tkufas HaKorona, Madura Tinyana Simen Dalet, pages 17 and 18. So, and also in Shas Tshuvas Minchas Asher Chelak Aleph Simen Kuf Tes Vav, he sets up a whole system where he tries to figure out how to figure out triage. In fact, he was responding to a question of of an incredible import, which is, what if we only have a set number of respirators? How do we choose who gets the respirator? And this was a very big issue and a crazy issue to have been reading about. And yet there are people who are living it. I knew the people that Rav Asher was writing to, right? And I was talking to them in the midst of everything that was going on right here from my little basement over here, right? Rav Asher was sitting back and together with other Gedolei HaPoskim, and he set up a system for trying to figure out how we determine triage. It's not as simple as saying, well, the Kohen comes before the Levi before the Yisrael. Not even Marvin, that you can go based on age or not based on age. There are a number of different factors. But one thing Rav Asher clearly says is that he's not so convinced that a young person has precedence over a very elderly one who seems to be closer to death. It's not so simple that you can make such a decision. Doc, go ahead.
I always thought that a doctor is considered a mumcha, and when the doctor is in that situation, he has the right to make the call of who he sees first or who receives the respirator first until they run out.
So again, you know, when the doctor is calling the rabbi to ask him, what do I do? Now what do you do? Because that's what was happening in April. I just want you to know that's what was happening. Right? So now, if I've confused you enough in the last 32 minutes, right? We understand that it's important to have lines, right? To go stand in line in the bank and cut the turn of somebody else. I think we can all agree that that's a very difficult thing to do. But we're not talking about cutting lines in the bank. So I can't only weigh the factors of the line or kol hakodem zacha, because we're dealing with life and death. And I think that therefore we need to ask other questions. First of all, there's a limited amount of vaccine out there right now. Just fact. Now they say that they're going to have enough for everybody, but there is a limited amount of vaccine. If I step up ahead and I pull off what Doc said before, right? I take somebody and I somehow pull some little magic trick whereby I hire a loved one in my office for, 25 minutes, so that the person changes status from a 2 to a 1A and gets the vaccine. Isn't there a question in Dine Mamanos? Wouldn't we call that person a thief? A Goslin? No? Yes? Maybe? Aren't I stealing the vaccine from somebody who's a rightful 1A or a rightful 1B? Well, I have to tell you that Rav Zilberstein in Chashuke Chemed Sanhedrin Daf Ches, he says, there may be a question of Goslin, because there is an expectation in a public health system that people move on the basis of the line. And if you cheat the line, you are cheating every single person in between. Let me go one step further, right? If you do engage in such a practice, especially where the entire health system is paying for the vaccine, right? Your insurance, the insurance companies, and the government subsidies, and you take something that's not rightfully yours, says, according to what Rav Zilberstein seems to suggest, that may be a tremendous problem. I have a different problem. And with this, and what is the different problem? If I cheat my way into the line, and now all of a sudden, or the company cheats, and it becomes known, isn't there a factor you all left out? Tell me something. When you heard about this on Motzei Shabbos or on Sunday, one of my kids told me they heard about it on Tuesday, right? About parkour, right? So the question comes up. And I'm not even accusing them of doing something illegal, right? When you heard about that, what was the first thought that you had? I'll give you two words, and the first one starts with a ches. Anyone?
Yeah, hello.
You're all quietly nodding your heads, but the first thought I had was, oy vey, chilul Hashem! Chilul Hashem! There's a system! Hashem yirachim the tzitz Eliezer, chelek yitches, simen samachtes, He says, you better weigh that factor of Chilul Hashem before you cut that line. Shiloh was brought up in regard to a series of dialysis machines. And one of the machines broke down. And so all the people who were signed up for that machine now had to go ahead and share with the other people. I had a dialysis time, but the machine reserved for me is out of service. Can I cut the line onto the other dialysis machine? Right? Well, one of the factors you better consider is that factor of Chilul Hashem. Right? And so those people, if you think you're going to cheat your way in to become a 1A, right, it seems that it's not up to you to make that decision. Indeed, one of the great Gedolim of our time who received the vaccine in what looks to be out of order began a shiur this week with the understanding that he was unaware and was misinformed and received the vaccine. And one should not proceed in that manner, right? One should not go ahead and take it out of turn. This, I believe, is a very major problem. So I'm talking to Rav Teitz about this earlier this week. And until we got to the Chilul Hashem, Rav Teitz said, I'm still not 100% convinced, because he had the same thoughts that Marvin did, right? Which is, wait a second, who's to say that the system is the right system to be putting into place? And I mentioned to him that there is a Rav in Beit Shemesh, Rav Menachem Cooperman. Rav Menachem Cooperman is the Rav of Kilat Avat Zion. And last week in his notes for Shabbos, he issued the following. And I quote, some Kupot Cholim are allowing people who are not in the high-risk groups to get vaccinated right now. And I was asked if this is allowed, as it may come at the expense of people who need it more. And the answer is there's no problem with it, and it's permitted lechatchila. And why is that, says Rabbi Cooperman? The Kupot, who are in charge of vaccinating the population, set priorities and appointments according to specific criteria and guidelines and have their own consideration. The responsibility is theirs and not of the individual. Therefore, if the Kupot knows you are not in the risk group and is still willing to make an appointment for you, this is allowed and appropriate lechatchila. It can also prevent the waste of vaccine doses, which might have gone to waste if not enough people came to get vaccinated. That is an issue in Israel, right? Right now, Israel is working primarily off the Pfizer vaccine, which has to be stored at a certain temperature and must be used within a certain time frame, the details of which I don't remember exactly off the top of my head. And so therefore, a number of people have received text messages from their kupot telling them, come right now, you know, we have extra vaccine, want to vaccinate you right away. In the United States right now, in the state of New Jersey, the beautiful state of New Jersey, where we grow snow stacks in our garden, right? Soon we'll be growing other things, and hopefully we'll be still protected and not too high up in the altitude here, right? The fact is, in the state of New Jersey, we do not have too much vaccine. In fact, we have quite the opposite, not enough vaccine. So, what Rav Cooperman was pointing out was that the responsibility is on the Kupot to make sure that they're keeping the law. Rabbi Teitz felt initially that it was a responsibility of the government to set the rules. And so therefore, if the government gives you a spot, or the Kupot, which knows whichever group is authorized to vaccinate, if they know who you are and they know your situation and they checked you out, right, they also have a responsibility to take care of you and know who you are. And if they still anyway vaccinate you, it's their responsibility and their license. And so therefore, maybe they're doing what they're supposed to do because they have too much out of a negative 73 degree freezer, and they feel that you're here, they better give it to you now, or the vaccine goes to waste. So therefore, when I discussed that with Rav Teitz, he said he thought that that was correct. When I asked him, but what about the Chilul Hashem? He bristled back and he said, wait a minute, if there's going to be a potential for Chilul Hashem, all this goes flying out the window. And a person certainly does not have that option. So in short, the answer is, I think the biggest factor over here is the factor of Chilul Hashem. To pay your way or to cheat your way through, let me just tell you, it ain't going to look good for the Jews. Right? However, in general, a person has a halachic obligation anyway to wait in line. right? If there's a, that line should have room, though, says Rabbi Schwartz back to Marvin, it should have room and take into account people who are at risk. And maybe, and you know, that has to be a factor at a governmental level. And if the government is not capable of receiving and understanding that, some people, you know, you may have to get the bums out, as they say in Brooklyn, right? But the bottom line is that that we have a responsibility to triage and to figure it out, but not to be mechal shem shamayim in the process. And this indeed became a factor for me this afternoon. And why is that? Let me tell you why. Late last night, right before I turned off the computer, I got an email from the state of New Jersey from the Division of Consumer Services. And in the state of New Jersey, Division of Consumer Affairs. I have a license there as a mental health professional. And I received a note that I had achieved something called 1A status, which means that, like Dr. Wenger, I have rights to step in first for a vaccine, along with all the frontline people. And together with a whole bunch of other people who are certified by the Division of Consumer Affairs, right, a whole debate ensued as to whether mental health professionals, specifically psychologists, whether they should be included in the 1As or not. This bothered me and distressed me because there was conflicting information. And so there was discussion as to what people should do last night. I'm reading the emails from one of the psychology associations that I belong to, and people were making their own decisions, and the lawyers in the group were saying, you know, maybe not so clear, maybe this clear, maybe this. And so I decided to do something very obvious. And what was that? If you're not sure if you're jumping the line or not, what do you got to do? You got to ask a Shaila. So who do you ask? Dr. Wenger, who do you ask? If you have a shadow like this, huh?
You would read either you would ask Rabbi Teitz or Rabbi Schechter.
Can't ask Rabbi Teitz or Rabbi Schechter. Neither of them work for the state of New Jersey, right? And you answered the question before. If you have a question, you need to know the facts. So I picked up the phone, and I called Union County, and I called the Department of Health, and I left a message. And I said, listen, I've got this difficulty. I don't know what my status is. I got this note from the state last night, and I'd like to know what the answer is. And, you know, just give me some direction and, you know, best wishes for a happy and healthy new year. So, of course, you make the call at 9 o'clock, and you know the office closes at 4, so I get a call in the middle of Shmona Esrei of Mincha, right?
Wow.
All right? And sure enough, the message came through. I have a status. My status happens to be 1A, and I was given instructions which way to proceed. I happen to be discussing this. I think we mentioned it at the beginning of the daf one of these days this week. And there is another member of our shul and a member of our daf yomi. He's also a clinical psychologist. And this individual does not realize that he's a 1A, right? And so technically speaking, here's a person who might be a little bit younger. Marvin, without getting into my whole health history, I haven't decided whether to proceed one way or another yet. Now I have to figure it out. Now that it's legal, what should I do and what is my responsibility? This individual said to me, I don't even understand. Why should I take a vaccine if I'm not seeing people in person and I'm a lot younger than you? Maybe we should have other people go first. I hear the taina. And let me just tell you, I hear that taina very well. It was funny tonight as we were leaving shul, Rabbi Teitz asked me, you know, which way, what did I decide and what solutions did I come up with? So I told him that I had just gotten the call. I hadn't listened to the message yet, but I noticed, you know, as I was picked up my phone after Myriv, that I knew the number. So Rabbi Teitz answers, and he says, so you mean there's a possibility that you, who is a little bit less than half my age, I am less than half of Rabbi Teitz's age, but close to it, right? You potentially will qualify for the vaccine before me, so I can one-up you. My sister can't understand why her father-in-law, who is 95 years old, Kahara, is not able to get the vaccine unless he gets committed to a nursing home first for at least 24 hours, right? So that they can then say he's a member of the nursing home and have to give him the vaccine. Of course, to give him the vaccine in a nursing home, no offense if anybody works in nursing homes, I don't think you should do that because who knows what else you're going to come down with in the interim. So there is a system. And the system ain't always perfect. But a person needs to know what the system is, and a person needs to know what to do. And as Android, who has not identified himself yet, has put in the chat box, what about it being a simple matter of Dina de Malchusa? I assume that's what he asked in Witty Marcus Dina. I assume that's Dina de Malchusa Dina. I think what that person is asking is a very good question. It's not simply a question of Dina de Malchusa, because the rules of Dina de Malchusa Dina can only apply if they don't conflict with the rules of the Torah. Now that we are at a status where we can argue that it doesn't conflict with the rules of the Torah, then waiting in line does become a responsibility that we have. And the question of Dina de Malchusa may apply. Of course, once upon a time, we discussed Dina de Malchusa and we pointed out that that may only have issues to do with finances, not with order. And in order for us, therefore, to apply the rules of Dina de Malchusa Dina, if we hold that it's only financial, then we'd have to hold that here it's a question of Gizela, which is not agreed to by everybody we've seen tonight. So in summation, we've discussed whether one's ever allowed to jump a line, and we identified a number of different possibilities of why it is that we need to stay in line, maybe a question of Menaka Olam, or to avoid Machlokas, or if you have to L'Reacha Kamofa, or Gizela, or Hasagas Gvul, or Nastavaram, or Pshara. We noted that there is a triage system identified in Halacha, and sometimes we need to be careful to consider that triage. But we also noted that we have to consider questions like Gizela and like questions of Chilul Hashem. And when it comes here, the poskim seem to almost unanimously agree that the cheat to get to the front of the line ain't going to help you. So I ask that, yes, we continue to proceed in a healthy way, that you become aware that, yes, if the vaccine continues, and it sounds like both of all the poskim I have talked to or heard from to a T, and all the doctors I've spoken to a T, seem to encourage the use of the vaccine and the use of trying to get the vaccine so that each of us gets the opportunity to get it, we should do so. But to realize that ultimately who is the one behind the vaccine, it's not the, as we'll see, Bezras Hashem before Shabbos, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, and what he is the one who is Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. I hear you, Android. I gotcha. But yes, I hear what you're saying. Okay, so that's really where we are. And Bezras Hashem, we will get together on another opportunity to discuss some of the other issues. Okay, any questions, thoughts, feelings? Besides the one that Android pointed out, Bezras Hashem will get that opportunity and we'll only see good things in the future. And we should do it at the Kedasu Kedin. We should follow the halacha, and that is our responsibility. Okay, we'll stop here, and Be'ezer Hashem will continue.
Is there an early minyan tomorrow? Hold on.